Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Everyone, we're just really talking about who we are as a family. The past month, and I'm just finishing off of that today. And the question we're really asking is, why do we do the things we do? We also have to challenge ourselves that if we look at what we're doing, and there's certain traditions we hold here, certain meetings we have, things we do, and we can't really speak for it from Scripture, we really need to ask ourselves why we are doing it, and maybe consider even to stop it. All right? Because we don't have energy and time to waste on anything that does not bear fruit in God's kingdom. Isn't that true, everyone? And so as a church, we, as a group of leaders, have just looked over our growth the past few years, and we're asking ourselves, what can we see God doing in our midst? And what are we actually doing here? And we summarize it with CSSS or CS3. We find people come to church sometimes for the first time. They don't like me so much. They like the coffee and the snacks, and they tend to come back. And as they come back, we invite them to small group where they meet real legends, where their relationship with Christ grows deeper, and also they create friendships that really just grounds them in Christ. And then we go, can we just go back to that previous slide, please? And then we want to teach people to grow themselves, all right? What we see, and what my opinion is, that many churches stops with the first two. Not that every church has small group, but most churches will have a service and some kind of place where people can meet, be it a Bible study or a committee of some sort. But we just really believe that we should lead you guys beyond to the place where you grow a relationship with Christ yourself. You must know Scripture. If you just take everything I say here as canon, I mean, you just take it as it is, and you never can challenge it with your own thoughts of Scripture or align with it, then I am failing this congregation. As leaders, we're failing you guys. Because you really should grow up in Scripture in a sense that when you see and experience life out there, that you can ask yourself, is this from God or not? The way we do that is by encouraging you to do the encounter series we do. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Every second year we've got Bible school. Not this year, next year again. And to have an accountability partner that reads Scripture with you and gives a platform where you really grow in the Word. And tonight we at serve. All right, so if we just quickly run through those next bunch of slides. This is what we did. Part one, we asked the question, why church? You can get that on the internet. We asked, why small group? What did we see in Scripture when it comes to meeting in smaller groups? And then last week we answered the question, why you need to grow yourself. It's all on there. You can make a little folder on your computer. This is what we do, and just download it all and throw it in there. And tonight we're going to focus on serve. Why we serve. Why we serve. Now I'm going to take, a bit of an ompad, Mozambique too, okay? I'm going to go past Cape Town. That's kind of what I'm going to do tonight. You guys, please don't do that. Fuel is very expensive and toll gates and stuff. But I'm allowed to do that in the sermon. I'm going to be given a drive out just to land one or two theological concepts with you, and then we're going to talk about serving. But I just quickly want to call up Mari and Sumari and Vian. Is Sumari here? Yeah, she is. I just asked them to share a minute or two quickly. Before I go, I want to ask them, why do they serve? Okay, to speak for themselves. Vian serves at Intercession and on the setup team and with the youth, and Sumari is with the kiddies and also at Intercession. Mari is also everywhere, but specifically, he knows more about the mission teams and the dates than I, because that's his baby, so I asked him to say, so why is he so committed to missions? Because all of these resemble serving in one sense or another. So let's just quickly run them through. Take a minute or two.
Okay, cool, guys. Yeah, so why I serve is firstly, you know, when we this side of the cross, when you have not met Jesus, everything is about yourself and about what you do. And as you come to meet Jesus, then the Holy Spirit comes into your life and he transforms you into the image of Christ. And there's three things that the Word of God teaches us. And the one is, no greater love as anyone for anyone than this, than to lay down your life for your friends. So as the Spirit transforms you into this image of Christ, you cannot help but to lay down your life for the people here and to serve in church. You cannot help but give yourself to the people. And another one is that Jesus also came to serve and not to be served. And as the Holy Spirit comes and he just transforms you into that image of Christ, you cannot help but to lay down your life and to serve the people that God loves. And then the third thing is, always reminded of this piece of scripture where Jesus comes and he actually wants to go just and have a quiet time with his disciples, but there's a great crowd that was there. And Jesus looks at them and the scripture says he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, harassed. And he had compassion on them and then he ministered to them. And that is what the youth is for me. Jesus just showed me the compassion that he has for his children and, you know, that they are lost in this world and without a shepherd. And yeah, you can't help but give yourself in that situation when Jesus just shares that compassion that he has for people. And yeah, that is why I serve.
Yeah, I want to agree with what Vianna said. It's when Vianna asked me to now share why I serve at Kids Church. I thought back to the time when, I think about 4 years ago, when God laid it on my heart to start serving at Kids Church. And I never thought I'd do that. I never thought I was a teacher, firstly. And secondly, I felt too young to feel like a mother. So, but I remember I came to Secunda and I didn't know where to serve in church, but I was so in love with God. And it's like Vian says, you can't help. You just want to start doing something. And our works aren't really worth much in the bigger scheme of things. God doesn't look at that. He looks at our hearts. But good works is a fruit of being in love with God, and it flows forth from your heart automatically when you're plugged into Christ. And I was just in worship one night and I felt the Holy Spirit laying on my heart, start serving in Kiddies Church because that's where the need is. That's where the church needs hands. And I had to get over myself and realize that it's not about what I want to do, it's about what the body needs. So if someone is in need or something is in need, what do? You try to meet that need. And God will also, he meets your talent and your passion also with where he wants you to serve. So he won't put you somewhere where, if it's not your shape either. So he prepares you and you will flourish where he puts you. So yes.
Okay, great. I'm going to talk more about missions. Why I'm involved with missions is firstly because God said so. God gave the command in Matthew 28, verse 19, of go to all nations, baptizing them, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you. Not I, but God have commanded us. You know, I think the first thing is that it's a command for me. So God said, listen, if you want to be slotted into my church, spreading the gospel is something very important to me. The second thing is, and it's something some people are very excited about and some people are not so excited about, but God said until the whole world has heard of him, then he'll return. Okay, so some people's like, yes, this is a great thing. Other people's like, ooh, this needs a lackney. And the last thing is, like usually I always forget one of my 3 points. But in any case, the moment you do to do something that God commands you to do, there's fulfillment in that. So it's not like it's a burden on my shoulders to go on a mission to Africa, to whatever, wherever. It's really something that I enjoy and really something that I find fulfillment in. So the moment you are there, you get a new revelation of who God is, and God comes to reveal himself in so many other ways than sitting here and working, which is also important. But yeah, it's something God really creates in your heart, and it brings momentum to one's life.
Let's give these guys a clap. So if you look at what we desire God to do in this congregation, to want people to move from attending a once-off meeting a week to making relationships in a small group, growing themselves, and then to overflow and serve. And these people are just examples of believers that also started somewhere. There was a day when they did not know Jesus. They did not know if they were coming or going. They did not feel confident before God. And God starts with each of us at different places, but then He grows us to be more like Christ. Amen. So tonight what I want to do is, I've got a goal there where I want to work towards. You can write it down if you want to. Is to show from the Bible that new covenant believers, or new covenant just means in Christ, believers in Christ, will overflow with Christ-likeness in word and deed. I want to show that from Scripture. I want to show that that is God's heart and desire, and that it's also possible for us to become like Christ in our words and our deeds, not only in our attendance. Amen? Great. Now, I want to give you a big word. What I've realized about sharing big words with you guys is there's two advantages. Number one is I look smart, and number two, you learn a new word. So I hope it's a win-win, okay? Give me my moment in the sun, and I'll give you a word. So the word I want to give you is this very big word that means dispensation, okay? Dispensation. And there's a few ways to describe it. A divine ordering of the affairs of the world, or an appointment, an arrangement, or favor as by God, divinely appointed order or age. Okay. There's another one, a political or religious or social system prevailing at a certain time. A dispensation speaks about a certain time things was done, how things were done in a specific time. Okay, there's an example. A scholarship is conveyed to a wider audience than under the old dispensations, or you could say the old way of doing things, or another time. And we understand this because we understand that there's seasons in life and that there's times for different things to happen. Let me give you an example. We are a mature audience. Yes, we are. I'm just quickly scanning. It's okay for a married couple to be intimate in a sexual way, right? Who agrees with me? It's not only okay, it should be that way. There's something wrong in a marriage which you should seek to fix if that cannot happen. So it's good. Everyone agree? It's not good for my son to engage in such activity. It's not his time for it. In his life, by the order of the time, the way he's living, the fact that he's a little boy, the time in his life right now is to eat what we give them and survive, okay? And copy us and learn to be human and grow into a man. At a certain time, he will leave our home. Maybe he'll go to university or technicon or somewhere, and it will be his time to feed himself. But he's not married yet, so it will not be his time to be intimate with a woman yet. It's not that kind of time, but the time has come for him to leave, and we all understand that. Then there's a time when he asks a lady to marry him, and it's a time to get to know her emotionally and not physically. It's that time. We understand the dispensations of time, even though we don't think of it. And then when he gets married, it's a time for him to be not only emotionally involved with his wife, but also sexually. And then it would be weird if they are not sexually. You see, the times have changed. And God, in his story of the world, works in these dispensations of times where certain things are right and certain things are wrong, depending on where we are. If I start at the end, what will Jesus do with us at the end? He's going to marry us, right? He's going to marry us. That's awesome. The intimacy you experience with Christ right now is great, but it is not full. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 13. For now we see in part, then we will see in full. For now we know in part, then we will know in full. There's a fullness coming. In a sense, you could say we're engaged to God. This is not doctrine, it's a way of thinking. Why? Because we've received the ring. What's his name? The Holy Spirit has been given as a down payment, as a proof. It's the proof that he is coming for us. All right? under the Old Testament time, there was a way God had a relationship with his people, which changed when Jesus came. A different dispensation started. And it will change again when Jesus comes back. Are everyone with me? All right. Now, let's quickly look at the difference before Christ and after Christ. Can't discuss all the differences. This is like having people over at your home to eat, and you've got 6 special dishes you can make, and I'm just mixing them all together, okay? Because there's a lot of stuff on my plate here. Let's see if we get through it. If not, that's also okay. Old Testament times. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Now, I want to show that a lot of the Old Testament way, or the dispensation of the Old Testament, was God's people saying this: I look at your work, I meditate on your mighty deeds. For a lot of people in Israel, they were a spectator to the greatness of God. There was a few exceptions. There was priests that could go into God's presence. And there was a few kings that was, and leaders like Moses, that was given the opportunity to come very close to God. But it was definitely the minority. These guys were called prophets. For the nation, they were, in a big sense, partakers of the law and spectators on the greatness of God. Let me just show one or two things. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind and all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. God's doing something out of this world, helps his people. And if you go to the next slide, this is something someone would say: I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds, how you opened the ocean. You are amazing. Can you feel what I'm saying here? Let's go on. Here's just another one. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a handful of soot from the king, and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. It shall become fine dust over the land of Egypt and become boils breaking out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. That's spectacular stuff. Also in the 10 plagues, one morning, Egypt wakes up, every firstborn is dead. Oh, that's not a nice, it's a day of mourning. But surely it's a spectacular, out of this world things God does with his finger. And so once again, one could say, I will ponder all your work and I meditate on your mighty deeds. Who's at work here? It's God. His majesty is on display. And the waters prevailed so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains were under the whole heaven, were covered. Noah's flood. Who floods? How big is this God? I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. And we see that God moves and the people says, wow, you are so great. You are so amazing. And then Jesus comes, and the tone and the type of wonder that comes through us has got a different taste to it. Let me show you how this changed. I'm going to take a bit of argument and then land this point. Don't leave me here. We're starting a bit academic. We're going to move over. We'll be a bit more devotional in a moment. But Jesus emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, by being born in the likeness of man. Jesus had a human body, right? And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. So we've got God in the Old Testament doing amazing things. We've got God in the New Testament coming in human form. If we go to the next slide, just check this out. This is all going to make sense in a moment. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What does that mean? It means that every spirit or every person that says Jesus had a real body is from God. For many deceivers, another book, have gone out from us, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now, let me quickly tell you what's going on at that time. In those times, there was a very big heresy that said the following. It said, Jesus was so amazing. He was so incredible. Some people said, no, he never came. He didn't stand up, stuff like that. Other people who didn't want to believe said, it was not possible for Jesus in a normal body to have served God in that way. It's not possible. He had a spiritual body. And that's why he could do amazing things. His body was spiritual. Your body is natural. Therefore, he could not sin, but it's okay for you to sin. Okay? That's the heart of the argument there. When God comes and he saves your spirit, remember, Jesus was spirit. So your spirit is okay. You can do with your body what you want. They divided the two. And I'll tell you now why that's a very, very big mistake. These people wanted humans to carry on with their sins, say a prayer, and then say, but you're okay. And John writes and he says, no, no, no. He came in a real body. And when you follow him, your body should also follow the pattern of his body. If you are in sin, you should move out. Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Therefore, here's my point. Jesus can be followed. Listen up. Jesus can be followed. In the Old Testament, we look at God and we say, you are so amazing, you part the oceans. I'm in awe of you, God. You are so amazing. Spectacular are your ways. What you did with the water, who can do? And then comes Christ. And we say, Lord, you are so amazing. How spectacular the works you can do through me. Old dispensation, we are spectators. In the new covenant, we are partakers. He came in a body just like yours. He can be copied. It's called a disciple. And so he says, then Jesus told the disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The old dispensations, we hear a lot, obey me and obey these laws. In the new covenant, we see a lot, become like me, serve like me, love like me. How can we do this? How can we be like Jesus? Now, let me tell you what, you'll never be 100% like Jesus because you're not. But there's two very important things that will help you here tonight if you get this. To become more like Jesus in your body, in your life. Talking about your body because it needs to, what's in your heart needs to hit your life on earth. Are you with me? Jesus says in John 5:19, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord. Why can he do nothing? Because he's in a human body. But only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Who leads the Son? The Father. The Son looks upon the Father. He sees, oh, this is what the Father desires, and he does it. Are you with me? The second thing is the Spirit empowers Jesus. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do all those things. Preach the good news, proclaim liberty to the captives, and do miracles. Jesus starts his miraculous ministry after he was baptized, when the Spirit comes, descends on him like a dove. Before that, we have no account of Christ moving in miracles. After he gets baptized, the Spirit comes upon him, he's tempted for 40 days, which he makes through, he's successful, and then his ministry starts. So the question for us is, if the Father led Jesus, will the Father also lead us? That's the first question. And so Jesus says, when you pray, say the following: Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come here. Show me your kingdom and I will bring it here as best I can. I will look to you. You've got the same leader leading you that led Jesus, the Father in heaven. His normal body went up the mountain and he prayed. His normal body went to a garden and his body was shaking, he was bleeding, his body was distressed, and he looked beyond this life, this body, to the Father, and he spoke, Father, if there's another way, please, but not my will. I'm asking you, is the Father present and willing to lead you also? And your answer should be a resounding yes. We have a Father that is near to us, our Father. Same one that leads Jesus wants to lead you. Are you with me? Second question is, will the Spirit also empower us the way He empowered Jesus? Acts 1 verse 8. But you will receive what I received. When I was baptized, you will receive that. When I go, He will come. Wait for Him. The Spirit has come upon you. You'll receive power and you will be my witnesses. Starting in Secunda, the province, the country, the world. The same leader that led Jesus is waiting for us to say, Our Father. And the Spirit is given to empower us. The difference between the old dispensation and the new one, the old covenant and the new one, is that you're not a spectator to the power of God, but a partaker. What a pity that many movements trains the people to be what? Spectators that gives money. I cry. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. We need people that can think for themselves because they have a relationship with a Father. And the Word washes them and they are empowered by the Spirit, just like the pastor, to do a work for God as God pleases to give to them. And it looks vastly different, but each one grows in maturity as the church grows. There's not one powerful man that preaches and the rest looks. It's not scriptural. We don't see it there. And if we go there, close the door, lock it, give the keys back to Kira. We're not going to go there. Stuff must come out of us, guys, into this world. Are you with me tonight? What did Jesus promise? He said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. If only the pastor believes in Jesus, then only the pastor should have stuff flowing from him. If only the priest believes in Jesus, then only the priest has got stuff flowing out of him. If only the Domini believes, then only he got stuff flowing out of him. Whoever believes, do you believe? Something must come out. Something must come out of you. Amen? Now this is said about the Spirit whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit has not been given. The dispensation has not yet started. We spoke about it at Encounter 1. In times when God wanted stuff done in the Old Testament, He would release His Spirit on a person, on a king, on a prophet. New dispensation, the Spirit is given for every believer who asks for it. Isn't that amazing? And so it's actually amazing because just before this conversation in John 4. He speaks to a woman at a well. She's there to get water. What did Jesus tell her? He says, I'll give you water and you will never thirst again. Now he says, I'm going to give my people the water and it's going to come out of them. So I don't have to walk the earth still today and speak to people, because my people will do it. It will come out of them. We must move beyond meeting to places where we are going and affecting change in this town, people. That's our vision. How do we serve God? Just a few random points just to show you. It's great I speak about it. Yo, something must come out of you. What is this? Let's quickly talk about it. Number one is caring for basic needs. It's one of the things. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unsustained from the world. These are not things we're trying to do to be close to God. These are the things that pop out when your faith is real. Like Vian said, all these guys actually love it. I can't help it. Yes, you should feel like you can't help it, because something is storming out of you, the Spirit, because of the real relationship you have with God. This happens. And so if you want to know more, we're helping you with an orphanage. We're feeding people every week. We wish we could do more. And we hope God will help us and lead us. But somewhere in our church and in your life, we should resonate with this. If I then, your Lord teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Another scripture: by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We serve by overflowing in God's love. One way, it's actually a serve. We go to the next slides, guys, at the back. Next one. We serve by overflowing with God's love. This is not just sentimental. Just quickly look around. Just look at around there, the orange tables. That is a fruit of someone loving. Love causes people to do something like that. Okay, just an example. Just need to put, love causes someone to do this. It's so much more than this, but just to put, something practical to it. And as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. We're moving from those practical things to number three. Serve by going for God. These are things that happen to believers. They start to go. We're almost done before the rain chases us out. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For this is the reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Number four, serve with your spiritual gifts. These are things that comes out of the lives of the church, not the pastor. Can you hear me there in the back? Almost done. And so we want to move people from attending church, building relationships in small group, growing themselves and overflowing. And you should ask yourselves, where are you? And are you faithful? Let's stand up tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your awesome love. And for every person here tonight. You are so good. And as we go out in this week, I pray that you'll move in every heart. Thank you that we are called to be partakers and not spectators. And each one carries something so different, so beautiful. And I just pray, Lord, that you'll help us, each and every one of us individually, to plug in to who you made us to be. And everyone said, amen.